So, how many of you guys are ready to get in the Word this morning? All right. So, we're wrapping up these many weeks that we've been in the series called Unshakable. And we have talked about the Word of God. We have talked about what happens after you die. We've talked about the judgment. We've talked about heaven. Well, we're going to talk about heaven today, but last week we talked about hell. The Sunday prior to that, we talked about what happens after you die. A lot of people have some notions about what happens after you die, and so we allow the Word of God to speak into our beliefs, right? So it's not about what our church believes. It's about what the Word of God says, right? Remember, we're no more spiritual than we are biblical, all right? Our spirituality has got to be backed up by the Word of God. If not, we are going by personal belief rather than the Word of God. And what happens when we go, when we are led by our personal beliefs, is that it leaves us empty at the moment we need it the most, right? Because sometimes our personal beliefs do not line up with what the Word of God teaches is true. That's why I've named this whole series Unshakable, so that everything that we believe, everything we believe about God, heaven, hell, His Word, the church, the ministry, the focus of the church, all of those things, our personal lives, all are hinged and founded on the Word of God. That rock that the builder rejected, right, is now the cornerstone of our life, and that we are now, as believers, no matter what mountain we face, no matter what obstacle we have to climb, we know that we can go through it unshakable. Everybody say unshakable.
Unshakable.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you are unshakable today. Whatever you're going through today is doing this for you right now. It is establishing you in your faith. Why is it that believers run? Why is it that believers hide? Why is it that believers avoid conflict, avoid trouble? When we know that trouble sharpens our lives, it's not like we go looking for it, all right? Don't go looking for it, all right? Don't go out of this church looking for trouble, looking for obstacles. Avoid them at all costs. But when it comes, know that even though you have pain, even though you may have sorrow, even though that you may want to turn, you know that your life is founded upon the Word of God, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen? That includes your present trouble. That includes your present circumstances. Whatever you face, God is greater. Amen? And so, I love my mom. Do you hear that? I heard that southern amen right then. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 14. So we talked about last Sunday about hell, right? There wasn't a whole lot of amens, and that's fine. Not looking for that. A lot of oh me's last week, okay? Because hell is real. It is a place that never ends. It is in utter darkness. There's no parties going on down there. There's no fun to be had. As a matter of fact, hope has escaped from hell. There is destruction. There is complete darkness. That you are completely alone in your suffering day and night for all eternity. It never lets up. Amen. The presence of God is nowhere to be found. And there is for all eternity complete darkness. So we can't talk about the afterlife, what happens after we die, without talking about hell. And we sure can't talk about hell without talking about heaven. So let's get into it this morning. How many of you guys ready?
Amen.
Amen? All right, so here we go. So whatever you think about heaven, all right, is far better than you could ever possibly imagine. And I don't know about you, but I've got one heck of imagination. How many of you guys got a pretty good imagination? It can run away from you, right? And so when we think about heaven and the most beautiful images that you possibly can fathom in your mind, in your spirit, in your imagination, cannot compare to the beauty, to the splendor, to the glory, to the majesty of heaven. Remember, our key thought for the last few weeks is this: what you believe about eternity determines how you live here right now. We hold dear to our beliefs. Our beliefs, it takes us on, right? It brings us to another level. It stabilizes us when everything goes wrong. Our personal beliefs are very strong, and we hold them dear. And so that's why I said what we believe about eternity determines how we live here today. What we believe dictates how we live. Amen? If there is one sermon that I will fall short on, it's this one. Because it's hard to put in words the majesty, the beauty, the splendor, and the glory of heaven. As a matter of fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the New Testament, all right, had trouble describing it as well. Listen to what his word says. He said this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. I will take God's imagination and His creativity over mine any day. So with that said, let's let the Word of God do the talking today concerning heaven. We're going to take a glimpse into it this morning in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." This is Jesus talking. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Hallelujah. We should all be on our feet shouting and praising God that when He left, He did not abandon us. But He said, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And in my Father's house, there's many rooms. And if it were not so, I would not tell you. But where I go, I will come back and bring you with me." Thank God for that. And this is what He said. Jesus went on to say, "You know the way to the place where I'm going." And then Thomas piped up and he said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Then Jesus famously said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Now look at Revelation 21, 1 through 5, and we're going to skip down to verse 7. It says, then, this is John, which is one of the disciples. He was the only disciple that wasn't put to death, all right? He was exiled to this island, all right, so that John would not evangelize anymore, that he was held captive on this island. And God brought him up and showed him a vision. And John is trying to give us a glimpse into that heavenly vision. This is what John the Revelator said. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away," now this is where it gets good, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all got to get excited with me this morning. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He who overcomes, now he's given qualifications here. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for heaven. I thank you that this earth is not my home. I am just passing through. And so, Father, I ask this morning that you would help me to teach and preach about heaven in a way that gives us a glimpse into your glory and to your majesty that is heaven. And I pray, Father, today that those that are struggling maybe in their bodies, those that are struggling in this life, those that are in that presently are in the fight of their lives, I pray, Father, that this message would remind them of the hope that is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I really want to show you what heaven is and what heaven isn't. How many of you guys have heard some goofy stuff about heaven before? Maybe you don't know if it's goofy or not unless I tell you if it's goofy, right? So I've heard a lot of things about heaven over my time in church. Things like, when you go to heaven, there's going to be fat, naked babies, angels floating around with wings, and they're playing the harp, and you're playing the harp. You don't really know how to play it, but you're playing it anyway, and you're making a joyful noise, right? You're doing all this stuff, or every time a bell rings, let me say it, an angel gets his wings. There you go. So we hear some stuff. How many of you guys know what movie that was from?
It's a Wonderful Life.
That's right. It's a Wonderful Life. So here are a few misconceptions about heaven, all right? Number one, heaven is boring. Heaven is boring. Why would you want to go to heaven? Now, the first, 5 minutes would be awesome. There is Jesus. Wow. There is Moses. That is amazing, right? There's your parents. There's your long-lost brothers or sisters that you lost, and all those different things. And for the first 10 minutes, it's just going to be amazing. There's the pearly gates. There's Peter. There's John. There's Matthew. There's Thomas. There's, you know, and so on and so on and so on. And then all of a sudden, you're like, well, okay, now, I mean, I don't really know what to do. What's next? And so one of the biggest misconceptions is that heaven is going to be boring. So why do you think people think that heaven is going to be boring? Because, number one, the devil is a liar. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
He is a liar. He lies, and his native tongue is lying. Amen? Some of you guys may not know this, but the devil's first name was Lucifer. He was one of the three archangels. There was Michael, Gabriel, and then Lucifer. We know that Lucifer was over the worship in heaven. Can you imagine? Over the worship in heaven. But the problem with Lucifer is that he got jealous of the glory of God. Over 5 times in the Bible, he said, I will be like or greater than God. So God cast him out of heaven along with a third of the angels as well. And so there was this mass exodus. And so we know that the devil is a liar. And if I was the devil, I would want to downplay the glory of heaven. I would want to downplay the significance and the beauty and the splendor of heaven. That why would you want to live in heaven when you can live right now? When you can have the pleasures of this world, when you can have everything that you want, that you can live here and now for the moment. Why do you need heaven? It's so far away anyway. And you know, you're not quite sure even if it's true. And so live for today. But instead, heaven is going to be a progress. How many of you guys ever been to a progressive dinner before? You know, you go over at one person's house for salad and hors d'oeuvres. You go to another's house for the main course. Go to another. And so heaven is going to be this progressive dinner that we are going to be feasting with the Son of God. That the glory of God, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the glory of God is not going to be veiled any longer. That it's going to be full steam, full power. You think solar power is awesome? Just imagine the glory of God powering everything. Everything. Getting to see our loved ones, getting to see Jesus face to face. Boring is doesn't even go into the equation of what heaven is going to be like. Number two, the second misconception about heaven is the world is your home. I just alluded to that a minute ago. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, he said, "So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary." Everybody say temporary. "But what is unseen is eternal." Remember the rope thing I showed you guys a few weeks ago? They're all connected. I'm not going to. So basically, there's this little piece of time, all right? A little piece of time, and then the rest of that cord represents all eternity to come. It never ends. There's no end to it. And that one little piece of the 2-inch piece of cord is where we spend our time thinking and planning, and we do everything in this little span of time without one thought of eternity. But what we need to understand is that our lives are but a vapor. It is here 1 second and gone the next. I bet that if I go to your house, some of you may have casseroles on right now. Some of you may have stuff in the oven right now or in the crock pot. Because you are expecting to go home, right? There is a time where we're planning for stuff. I've got meetings all this coming week. I'm planning to continue to live on. But the Bible says that we are not promised today. We are not promised our next breath, that we could leave here or we could die where we sit, but we are not promised tomorrow. Every breath is a gift. Every experience is a gift from God. It is our good gift coming down from our Father, but our lives are but a vapor. This world is not our own. That's why our home, this is why Paul said, fix your eyes on what is not seen. What is not seen? Our heavenly Father, our heavenly home. Because he is saying, for what is seen is temporary. Here and now is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Your life is but a vapor. Here 1 minute and gone the next. The second misconception again is this world is your home. It is not. Number three, the third misconception about heaven is most people are going there. So this is a biggie, all right? So bear with me as I flesh this out this morning. So I guess it doesn't matter really if that's the case, what we believe or what we do, because I'm basically a good person and heaven is a default destination anyway, right? And so all good people, all dogs go to heaven, right? Some of you got the movie reference. All good people go to heaven. So listen closely today from the words of Jesus himself. Broad is the road, and wide is the path that leads to destruction. And many people find it. They're on it. But narrow is the road. Narrow is the road, and small is the gate that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why is broad the road that leads to destruction? It's because people do not think about eternity. They think about here. They think about now. They think that they have another day. They've got another week. They've got another experience. They've got another moment, and they'll figure it out. They'll give heaven a try when they have time. I will go to heaven when I have time. I will go to church when I have time. I still have time to receive Jesus. But the problem is that we don't. The problem is that a lot of us live for today instead of planning for what is ahead. So here's the truth this morning. Good people, now listen, good people don't go to heaven when they die. So that begs the question, who goes to heaven, right? Forgiven people go to heaven by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about your works. It's not about your best day. It's not about all of your accomplishments, because every trophy that you have, that highlight reel of your good works, is meant for one thing, and that's casting at the Father's feet. Because when we go before the Father, our goodness will not be enough. Because it is by His grace that we are saved, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our goodness has nothing to do with it. And I know that flies in the face of our logic. I know it flies in the face of the good work that you did yesterday, or the good work you're doing this morning in serving, or the good work that you're going to do in the coming week. But our goodness has nothing to do with it. The Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. That offends me. It offends me. The gospel, the reason why the Bible likens itself to a two-edged sword is because the sword is sharp and it cuts, it severs. And what it does is it cuts away the goodness that I think that are all my good works, and it lays bare what I'm truly made of. And when we stand before our Heavenly Father and we usher our good works before Him, it will come to the point where He says, "Depart from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you." The only people that are going to heaven are forgiven people. We do good because of the goodness that God did for us. Amen? We do good because He has first loved us. We love because He first loved us. We serve because He first served us. We sacrifice because He first sacrificed for us. We die to ourselves because He died to Himself. The reason why we do good is because we have a Savior in heaven that demonstrated to us what goodness looks like, what sacrifice looks like, what love looks like, and we now step in the footsteps of our Heavenly Father. Amen? So remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." To sum it up, your goodness has nothing to do with heaven. That is a hard truth for a lot of people. It flies in the face of, you got to do enough good works to get into heaven. It flies in the face of, I'm better than this person. I deserve it. Deserving has nothing to do with heaven. It's all about the grace of Jesus Himself that qualifies us to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? So now, We know who is going to heaven. We know some of the misconceptions about heaven. So let's talk about what heaven will be like. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Here's the first thing. First of all, we will know one another. We will love and we will be loved. We will see our family once again. We will be surprised about people that made it. It's so true. You just think about it. Jesus was hanging between two thieves, right? One of them was hurling insults at him, swearing at him. While he's in agony, he is cursing at the Son of God. The other one said, "Lord, have mercy on a thief like me. Have mercy." Jesus looked at him on the day of his death, and he said, "Today I promise you will be with me in paradise." We'll be surprised of those who meet us there. Amen? We will know who one another is. There will be an extreme party like you would not believe. You think there's joy in your life now. Wait till you get to heaven. Wait till you feast your eyes on everything that is perfect, on everything that is good, on everything that is holy, and be in an environment where there is no more death, where there is no more suffering, where there is no more crying, and no more sin. Amen? I'm fired up this morning. We will see people like King David. I would think that would just be the coolest thing ever. To go up to King David and say, "Hey, listen, no disrespect, but when you threw that stone, did you really know it was going to hit its mark? Or were you surprised just as much as we were that it hit the mark?" Or all you ladies that have had kids go up to Eve and go, "Were you kidding me? Do you know what you've done to us?" Yeah, I'm sorry, Lord. No more pain. Sheer joy. A place that is worry-free. A place where there's no more anxiety. A place where there's no more fretting and wringing your hands. But complete peace. Number two, what will it be like? Heaven will be a place of unimaginable beauty. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. When Paul was trying to struggle with what it was going to be like, he's like, "You know what? No eye has seen." That's all I can tell you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God hath prepared for those who love Him. You can't conceive it. Your senses will fall short of trying to grasp the totality, the reality, the beauty, and the splendor of heaven. It will be unimaginable beauty. It will be this. Whoa. Wow. Unbelievable. Are you kidding me? Look at that. No eye has ever seen. No mind can conceive. No ear has ever heard the beauty, the splendor of the worship in heaven that we get to join in the chorus of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every color, giving glory and honor to the Son of God all at the same time. Can you imagine? I want to go to heaven now. It will be one mind-blowing experience after the other. There will be new colors that you have never seen before. New beauty that our mind couldn't have ever conceived in a newly created world. Imagine traveling, all right? Imagine traveling for 10 years, all expense paid. You take off of work. Your bills are paid. Things are going well at home. You take 10 years. And you travel everywhere you want to. everywhere, as often as you want to. Stay on a jet and just look at it. How beautiful it is. Go to the oceans, right? Go to every mountaintop that you want to. Go into every state park. Go into every majestic cave. Every place you can imagine. It would be life-changing, wouldn't it? The stories you could tell. How it shapes your mind. How you see the world. Through the lenses of 10 years of travel. But none of that. None of that can compare to the beauty and splendor of a glimpse into heaven. Now think about, again, all that beauty, but without sin. That it's perfect. It's beautiful in every way. There's no marring of it. There's no blots anywhere. It's all perfect. Everything flowing in perfect unity. Number three, in heaven, you will have new perfect bodies. And everybody said, yeah. Not again. It's true. Listen, watching a family member deteriorate and pass away is unspeakably painful. But when we get to heaven, we will see them in their new heavenly form. They'll be perfect in every way. There'll be no more pain. They'll be in their right mind again. Their bodies will be healthy. And they'll meet you there with shouts of joy and their arms open wide. What a day that will be. Remember, heaven is the absence of every bad, painful, and evil thing. And it's the presence of everything good, everything holy, and everything glorious. Heaven will be perfect. And our bodies will reflect that. No more, I wish I could drop 5. I wish I could drop 10. If I could just have this raised or whatever the case may be. We will be completely perfect in every way. Reflecting the glory of God. And lastly, what will heaven be like? I say the best for last. Heaven, in heaven, you will see Jesus face to face. There will be no more need for faith. There will be no more need for striving, for persevering, because we have received the reward of our faith, and that's the salvation of our souls, and that we meet Jesus face to face. Now, I want to share with you the significance of seeing Jesus face to face in all of His glory, all of His splendor, all of His majesty, all of His perfection. See, in the Old Testament, God could not be looked at. He could not be seen because the glory of God would kill a mortal man. As a matter of fact, Moses wanted to see God in all of His glory, and God said, you can't handle that. You can't handle the totality of who I am. So what I'm going to do, Moses, I'm going to do you a solid. As I pass by, you can take a look of what I look like from behind, because that's all you can take. And so the Bible says that Moses did that, and then as he came down off of the mountain with the Ten Commandments, Charlton Heston, right? Ten Commandments. Came down from heaven, the Bible says that his face was full of glory that no Israelite could even look at him. They were like, Moses, what is going on? And the Bible says that Moses had to put a veil on, even though that glory was fading, right? And so not one Israelite could look at Moses because his face was shining and glowing the glory of God. And so Moses put that veil on. And as a matter of fact, the Israelites said, we don't want to talk to God because we're afraid of the glory that we see on your face. So would you talk to God on our behalf? Even into the New Testament, let's fast forward to the New Testament. We know that sacrifice was part of the Israelite worship system. And so you would take your offering, a goat, a lamb, a bull, a turtle dove, whatever it is. The priest would go in. He would sacrifice that. There were blood everywhere. That's just the way it was. And so once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with one caveat. He had a rope tied around his ankle. And he had bells on his tassels. And so the bells indicate that the priest is moving. And there's protocol when you go into the presence of God. That protocol has got to be done correctly or you will die. And so, and the reason why the rope is on the ankle, because when the priest, the high priest goes in, there is this veil and no one can go in but the high priest. And so the high priest goes in once a year. He does his priestly duties. And if he does it wrong, he gets too close to the glory of God, then he's struck dead in the presence of God. And the only way to get that priest out is by pulling him out with a rope. So the presence of God is not fully made known to man except when Jesus came. Because Jesus said this, he said, when you have seen the Father, you see me. And when you see me, you see the Father. Because the Father and I, we are one. It is that picture of a husband and wife when they unite and become one flesh. And so the significance of this fourth part of heaven is that we will see Jesus face to face, eyeball to eyeball, His glory unveiled, His beauty made right before us, and we stand in awe of His glory and majesty. Hallelujah. Amen? That's exciting stuff. Give God some praise this morning. We're going to see Him face to face. The reward of your salvation, of your faith, is the salvation of your soul. And one day you'll see Him. You, not a group of people, not a cluster of people, not the masses, you will see Him face to face. You will see your Lord, your Master, your Savior, your Redeemer, eyeball to eyeball, and He will be fixed on you. You will see Him for what He is in all of His glory and all of His splendor forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. It will not be this 10 years later, oh, hey, there's Jesus. It will be as if you've seen Him for the very first time. Amen. I wonder how, you know, these angels, there's angels that are made just to worship God 24/7 for all eternity. And I'm thinking, man, that sounds awesome, but whew, I don't know if I could do that. I said one time that the reason why I think the angels worship God in that manner 24/7 for all eternity is that every time they pass in front of God the Father, they see a different side of Him, and it causes them, it compels them, it implores them to give God praise for that new glimpse. Every time they circle the throne of God, they see something fascinating. They see something they've never seen before. They see a glimpse that for all eternity is brand spanking new. And they are compelled to give God glory all the days of their lives. I can't wait until I see my Jesus face to face. What a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon His face, come on, help me. You remember? Huh? The one who saves me by His grace. And when I look upon His face, man, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. Would you stand with me this morning? want to end with the reading of Revelation 21 again. And I'd like for you to do this. Just shut out people around you. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine and try to get a picture in your mind and your heart of Revelation 21. When John was trying to tell you verbally what he is seeing with his eyes. This is what John said. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. For the old order of things have passed away. He who has seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Father, today, I have done my best to give my church a glimpse into your glory. Even studying and listening to podcasts and listening to different preachers preach about heaven this week, just trying to get a glimpse, just trying to wrap my spirit, my mind, my heart around it, Lord, it's literally overwhelming to me. That one day I will see Jesus, my Savior, my Healer, my Redeemer, my Banner, my Provider, my Sustainer. And in that moment, Lord, the only question is, what will I do? How will I feel? It is as though I would be so joyful, I would want to begin to just burst and come apart at the seams. All to see you face to face, my Lord. What a day that will be. Oh, my Jesus, I will see. When I look upon His grace, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to live with eternity in mind. That what we do here matters. How we love matters. How we trust, how we serve matters. Help us, Father, to all reflect the glory of God here while it is still called today. God, may we all be reflectors of that glory. May we all draw all men unto you so that you would be lifted up, so that men would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Would you, Father, in that moment, show us now that new heaven? Thank you that you have given us a glimpse of that through your Son, Jesus. And I thank you so much that I am able to receive and that I am able to live all for the glory of God. So today, could I have our prayer teams come up? I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know your story. I don't know where you are with Christ. I don't know all of it. But I do know that our Heavenly Father does. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows what makes us tick. And you would think that a glorious God would make us, compel us to accept His Son. But He doesn't. He's given us a choice to receive or to reject. Today, I pray that you receive the forgiveness that comes from the Son of God. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you are His and He is yours. And it's by doing this. It's by repenting. Remember I said that it's not about your goodness that gets you into heaven. It's only forgiven people that go to heaven. Your goodness has nothing to do with it. But His goodness has everything to do with it. And so this morning, if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you can do that right where you sit, right here, right now. We're gonna pray together. And if you want to invite Christ into your life, do so. And then we're going to pray. I'm going to invite you guys to come up. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, come up and tell the prayer team here and let them pray over you. If you need prayer about anything, come forward today and receive God's best for your life. Amen? So here we go. We're going to pray. Pray along with me. Lord Jesus, today, without hesitation, I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. I renounce sin and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. Today, I make the decision that I am yours. I turn away from sin and I run to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Father, I ask that you would give us, continually give us a glimpse into heaven and to realize that our lives are but a vapor. We are here for a moment and gone the next. And so help us live our lives with eternity in mind. Help us all to be reflectors of that glory. The glory of heaven. The glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. So that we can be examples of the way, the truth, and the life. So when anyone asks us what the difference is, we'll not hand them over our trophies. We will not show them our highlight reel. We'll not point them to our goodness and our good works. But we will point them to our Heavenly Father who sent His Son Jesus to die in our stead. And because of that, we're redeemed. Because of that, we're born again. Because of that, we are children of God, heirs and co-heirs of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen to the glory of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I ask that if you have received Christ today as your Lord and Savior, this is a monumental day. Come forward. Allow our prayer team to pray for you, to counsel with you. If you need prayer about anything, please come forward today and allow us to link our faith with yours. Amen. If you're a visitor here for the first time, thank you so much for being here. Listen, guys, God bless you guys. You are dismissed this morning. If you need prayer, please come forward. Other than that, God bless you guys. You are dismissed on this Sunday morning. For our leaders, we will have our dream session in the back just in about 15 minutes. God bless you guys.